There is no reason to suppose that the convergence of scientific explanations must lead to a convergence of scientific methods. Thermodynamics and chaos and population biology will each continue to operate with its own language, under its own rules, whatever we learn about the elementary particles. As the chemist Roald Hoffman says, most of the useful concepts of chemistry are imprecise. When reduced to physics, they tend to disappear. In an attack on those who seek to reduce chemistry to physics, Hans Primus listed some of the useful concepts of chemistry that were in danger of being lost in this reduction. Valence, bond structure, localized orbitals, aromaticity, acidity, color, smell, and water repellency. I see no reason why chemists should stop speaking of such things as long as they find it useful or interesting. But the fact that they continue to do so does not cast doubt on the fact that all these notions of chemistry work the way they do because of the underlying quantum mechanics of electrons, protons, and neutrons. As Linus Pauling puts it, there is no part of chemistry that does not depend in its fundamental theory upon quantum principles. Of all the areas of experience that we try to link to the principles of physics by arrows of explanation, it is consciousness that presents us with the greatest difficulty. We know about our own conscious thoughts directly, without the intervention of the senses. So how can consciousness ever be brought into the ambit of physics and chemistry? The physicist Brian Pipard, who held Maxwell's old chair as Cavendish Professor at the University of Cambridge, has put it thus. What is truly impossible is that a theoretical physicist, given unlimited computing power, should deduce from the laws of physics that a certain complex structure is aware of its own existence. I have to confess that I find this issue terribly difficult, and I have no special expertise on such matters. But I think I disagree with Pipard, and the many others who take the same position. It is clear that there is what a literary critic might call an objective correlation to consciousness. There are physical and chemical changes in my brain and body that I observe to be correlated, either as cause or effect, with changes in my conscious thoughts. I tend to smile when pleased. My brain shows different electrical activity when I'm awake or asleep. Powerful emotions are triggered by hormones in my blood, and I sometimes speak my thoughts. These are not consciousness itself. I can never express in terms of smiles or brainwaves or hormones or words what it feels like to be happy or sad. But setting consciousness to one side for a moment, it seems reasonable to suppose that these objective correlatives to consciousness can be studied by the methods of science and will eventually be explained in terms of the physics and chemistry of the brain and body.